Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye said, once again unto my necessity. Brother Angus, do you mind praying for me, please?
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the Sunday school time. Pray that you would help Brother Caleb, Lord, as he teaches here now. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you bless all the other classes. Lord, pray that you come and meet with us and get something here this morning. We ask this in your precious name.
Amen. So here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, we see the exception of their giving, the giving of the Philippians. And first off, we see that it says, now ye Philippians also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So Paul's talking, when I left you guys there in Macedonia, Philippi was a city in Macedonia. Paul commended their sacrificial giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, which says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. They weren't liberal Christians. They were liberal in their giving to Paul. Verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of to the saints. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Giving starts with first giving yourself to the Lord. We can give all the money that we have, but if we haven't given ourselves to the Lord, we're not doing too good. We can be reminded of the illustration of the young lady who, during a missions conference, got out of her seat and stood in the offering plate, giving herself to the Lord. Verse 6 says, in so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. We see the word communicate in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. We see where it says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Communicate, the word has to do with giving, sharing with what we have with others. They were willing to share. We teach little kids that, and then unfortunately we grow up and we're not too good at that. But Paul here is speaking of missions giving. He was a missionary. He's talking about the church supporting him and meeting his needs. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all in all good things. For the one who brought the gospel to them, to the people at Philippi, they were to communicate concerning giving and receiving in order to meet the needs of Paul. It also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 27, it says, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Meaning, it's up to God's people to take care of the man of God. And back in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, we talked about the exception of their giving. What was the exception? No church communicated, no church gave to Paul, but these guys only. Paul, he did not have a lot of support. Paul, he said that no one supported him in the work of the Lord except the Philippians. You can imagine what a blessing, what a thrill it would be at the judgment seat of Christ for one to hear a missionary from his church say, Lord, not a church helped me, but this one. The church supports the missionary. The church that supports the missionary will get dividends. It'll get returns from every soul that the missionary leads to the Lord. Paul, he didn't take money from just anyone. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, just really over, not too far, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll look at verses 7 through 9. I'm going to be teaching slash preaching as quickly as I can here this morning just to try to finish up the book of Philippians. So please bear with me. Hang on to your hat, buckle your seatbelt, all that kind of stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, I have committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being a burden unto you, and so will I keep myself. We see here that apparently Paul, he had rejected the support from the church of Corinth, probably due to their carnality. And it is right for the church to support those who preach the gospel. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, the Bible tells us, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So the church is supposed to support the man of God, the one who preaches the gospel. And of course, this giving goes beyond the pastor of the local church. Obviously, it goes to the missionary meeting and supporting his needs as well. The missionary should also live of the gospel. We give so that the missionaries, so that the pastors can give themselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. As it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Those whom God has called to preach or to live the gospel, their needs are to be met through the church. That is what Paul meant when he said, no one communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Ye only was the phrase he used. The Philippians, they did the right thing, not because there were others doing it, but because it was the right thing to do. They didn't sit around waiting for the other churches to give. They didn't sit around waiting for the missionary letter to come in and say, this church supported Paul and this church supported Paul, and then they would start giving. No, they just did what was right. You do right regardless of what others are doing around you. Do right because that's what God says to do. After Abraham Lincoln became president, before the days of civil service, office seekers besieged him everywhere to trying to get appointments to various jobs throughout the country. And once confined to bed with typhoid fever, exasperated, Lincoln declared to his secretary, bring on the office seekers. I now have something to give everybody. I'll let that sink in. Maybe you didn't get that. He was going to give them the fever anyway. About giving, everybody wants something to be given to them. Especially when they come to church, you're like, oh, I want to hear something. Some people, they come, they want physical things. But we should not just be takers, but we should be givers. You know, so often we come and we sit down in our pew and we just kind of kick back and relax while the preacher, the teacher, whatever gets up and he does all the work. No, you should put some work in too, amen? Don't just sit there and take, take, take. Give, encourage the preacher. Encourage the other people around you. Try to be a blessing. Ask the Lord to empty you of yourself and fill you with His Spirit so that you can be a blessing, so that you can be a help to others, and it just isn't coming in, and you know you got your little friends you talk to and your little social club, and then you hear a little few good things that the preacher's had you to write a little fancy notes down, and then you go home and you haven't really gotten a whole lot, and you've just taken, taken, taken. You haven't given a whole lot. But concerning giving, George Mueller said, God judges what we give by what we keep. What do you have left over when you're done giving? We can ask the question of ourselves, what do we have left over when we're done giving of ourselves? Never mind the money. What do we have left of ourselves? How much time do we have left over? You say, oh, I've got all this time on my hands. I'm always getting into trouble. Well, do something for other people. Maybe you won't get into so much trouble. We see the example of their giving back in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16, where it says, For even though in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. We see the example of their giving. For some reason, Paul would receive no support from the Christians there in Thessalonica. It says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8 says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable unto any of you. Perhaps it had been a while he was in the process of getting us churches established here, but at any rate, in our text in verse 16, it says that the Philippians sent support while he was in Thessalonica. So he's in Thessalonica. Thessalonica's not giving him anything, but the Philippians are supporting him. Paul had gone to Thessalonica after Philippi, and the Philippians had given contributions to him at least two times. We see that in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Acts 17, 1 through 4. It says, now when they had passed through these two cities, that it says there in verse 1, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and the three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he's preaching, he's reasoning for at least 3 days, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached unto you is Christ. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So he's here preaching, he's teaching, there's lots of people, and they're getting saved, and the new church down at Philippi, they're getting in on it by sending money to Paul. They were getting a return on their investment right away. I mean, that's the investments we like to make, the ones where you get returns right away. Spiritually speaking, we may not always get such dividends right away, but the Lord still will reward faithfulness to His work. So just keep on giving. Be faithful in your giving. The church at Philippi in Macedonia, if you will, also helped Paul when he was in Corinth. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. I think we read that, so we won't go through that again. But Paul, he had been needing money, but he was making tents. We see when he ran out of money, he got to work. Acts chapter 18, verse 3 tells us, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. And Rod, he's talking about the tent makers, for their occupation, they were tent makers. Then came along the money from the Philippian church, verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus came from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. We see that Paul just didn't sit around, you know, waiting with his hand out to get, you know, waiting for the check to come in from the Philippians. He got to work until the Lord supplied his needs. And we see that God will reward a hard-working person. That's His way. You don't work, you don't eat. We see the word necessity in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, Philippians chapter 4, he sent once and again unto my necessity. What did Paul need? Well, food and raiment was enough to keep him going. The Philippians took good care of Paul in his necessities. On one occasion, Paul requested a little more than raiment. He wanted some books too. In 2 Timothy, books are good things, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 says, the cloak I left at Trophus with Carpus, then thou comest, bring with thee the books, and especially the parchments. One guy said of this verse, perhaps the Roman prisons operated on the same ethics as Mexican prisons do today. Prisoners are really given nothing by the state. They are totally dependent on family and friends for the necessities of life. They're not giving you, you know, three hots and a cot and, you know, clothes and toothbrush, toothpaste, all that stuff. They're not getting all those, you know, basic things. Friends, family had to bring those things. So he's asking for some parchments. He's saying, bring the books, Part of the Christian life is communicating, verse 14, with the afflictions, and the afflictions in verse 16 of other Christians of Philippians chapter 4. Communicate with the afflictions and taking care of people. We are to be involved in distributing to the necessity of the saints. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 tells us distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 tells us, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We are to be giving to be supporting other fellow Christians. Proverbs chapter 3, just making sure I'm getting going through here pretty quick. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Don't put someone off. We are to labor that we may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him to him that needeth. You work to have so you can give, so you can help other people. Kind words are really almost worthless or worthless without actions to back them up. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 tells us, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Someone's needs are physical, and you're just like preaching to them, you've got to supply the physical needs too. It's okay. Take care of those, then you can preach to them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, my little children, let us not love in word, and neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just say you're going to help people. Actually do it. The Philippians were an example of a giving church. We too are an example everywhere we go. There's a true story of how the Christian walk of a man by the name of Will Houghton, if I'm saying his name correctly, a preacher who became the president of Moody Bible Institute during the 1940s. He played a large role in the conversion of an agnostic who was contemplating suicide. The skeptic, you see, was desperate, but he decided that if he could find a minister who lived his faith, he would listen to him. So he hired a private detective to watch Houghton. And when the investigator's report came back, he revealed that the preacher's life was above reproach. He was for real. The agnostic went to Houghton's church, accepted Christ, and later sent his daughter to Moody Bible Institute. We are an example everywhere we go. People may never, ever, ever see another Christian but you. Never in their whole life. And so their whole life they go through and they think of you. You're the example. You're the only thing they know. They may never read their Bible. They may never study anything, but all they know is you. What kind of example are you? What kind of report would come back if an investigator, followed us and reported back on what we did and what we did with our time and where we went and all this stuff? Man, oh man, we need to be a good example. The Philippians were a good example of a giving church. Moving on to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, we see the concern in the contributions. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul's saying, I don't really care about, the money. It's great. That's awesome. I appreciate it. You're taking care of me. But I want some fruit to come from your lives, from the ministry here, from the church, the concerns in the contribution. He's talking of your account. Paul is telling his supporters that the converts he wins to the Lord will go to their account. The same is true when we support missions today. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will not forget any Christian's work and labor of love whenever that Christian is supporting those who are preaching the gospel. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 2 through 4. Hang in there with me today. I'm trying to finish up here, so just hang in there with me. If I'm going too fast, you can wave at me, and I might slow down for you. I might not. You might get left behind. I don't know. Matthew chapter 6, I'm just being funny. You can laugh. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Paul, he desired their help, but not so much because he needed it, but because he wanted them to have fruit added to their account from the Lord. He wanted them to have spiritual fruit because he knew their fruit would come to multiply for generations to come. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see fruit right away. But it takes time, and the more we sow, the more will grow, and from that, more and more and more. I may have used this illustration before, forgive me if I did, but Mr. Kimball, he was a Sunday school teacher, and in the year 1858, he led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. The clerk was Dwight L. Moody. He became an evangelist in England in 1879, awakened the evangelistic zeal in the heart of Frederick B. Meyer, a pastor of a small church. F.B. Meyer, preaching to an American college campus, brought to Christ a student named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman engaged in YMCA work and employed a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday to do evangelistic work. And you see, the list goes on and on and on. So don't stop sowing because you're not seeing any fruit right now. We're talking generations, guys. We're talking Adam. You know, what if he grows up and becomes a preacher? Or Titus, you know, Lord willing, you know, if that's what the Lord wants. But we're talking generations. We're talking hundreds of years. The list goes on and on and on. Do what you can in your lifetime, and you may never know. You may get up to heaven and watch for generations if people serve the Lord because of your actions. So don't get discouraged if you're giving now and we're not seeing great dividends now. Maybe we will in the future over time. We see in verse 18 of Philippians chapter 4, the confirming of the contributions. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 tells us, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet-smelling sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." We see, first off, the word all, "but I have all." Why did Paul have all? Because he left all for Jesus' sake. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30 tells us, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Verse 29, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters," some folks might want to leave their sister, "or fathers or mothers or wife or children," hopefully nobody wants to leave their wife, "or children or lands for my sake and the gospels." Verse 30, "But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." We see back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, the word full. "I have all and abound. I am full," Paul says. This takes us back to verses 11 and 12 of Philippians chapter 4, where it says, Now I speak in respect of what I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abound and to, I both know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We see in looking at verse 18, we see that Paul was full. He knew how to be full. He knew how to be abased, all of that. And we see Epaphroditus, it talks about that in verse 18, where it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that he ministered to my wants. You see, Epaphroditus, he had been a help to Paul. He's a messenger from the church at Philippi. And some people do have to be sent out from the church. You know, it's like the, I forget which state it is. I want to say Montana. I wanted to look it up. But the Bozeman Trail, like how the people would go through the West. And the Indians would attack the people, the soldiers that came out of the fort every time. They would send out soldiers to do work or something like that. And all the soldiers wanted to stay in the fort because the Indians would just wipe them out. And sometimes that's how it is. Sometimes everybody just wants to stay in the fort. They just want to stay in the church. Nobody wants to go out. But we see Epaphroditus went out. We should be at least willing to go out from the church. God still wants to call people, right? Man, do we still want to go? You say, oh, I'm kind of up there in years, or maybe I'm too young or whatever. Well, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but Joy, how old was your dad when the Lord called him? 2012, I think, right? Something, how old was he? Give us a number, 60-something? 58? He's 58 years old. God is still calling people to go out. We should be willing to go. We see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, the word acceptable. We see that is it acceptable to God. What was going on here was acceptable to God. We should take note of what's happening here if it's acceptable to God. An odor of sweet smell. Amen. There's good smells and there's bad smells. Amen. And when you're a husband and you come home to dinner, you want to smell something good. Amen. Not something bad. But we see here it's a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable to God. We see that it's acceptable to God. Paul had noted in verse 10 that they wanted to help him. But they had lacked opportunity. Now, after they helped him, he said it was a sacrifice for them. Hey, sometimes it's a sacrifice to help people. Some folks aren't willing to sacrifice. It's not always pleasant, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 tells us, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we sacrifice. Back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul commends the Philippians on the sacrifice. Then immediately he showed him why they did not have to worry, even though they had sacrificed. In verse 19, it goes on to talk about that. Paul was thankful for their sacrifice. We should be thankful for the sacrifices of other people towards us. So many people have helped us, but are we truly thankful? Do we thank the Lord? Do we thank those people? And not just in the services where people get up and go and thank the pastor and whatnot. I'm not talking about when everybody else is doing it. Why don't you do it when nobody else is doing it? We see a man, he said this of the pilgrims. He said the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. Meaning they buried 7 times more people than the need for houses for people. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving. We're not out there digging graves for 7 times the amount of people that we have in here right now. But man, these people were, the pilgrims were. Talk about roughing it. Those guys roughed it. But still, they set aside a day. And really, it was 3 days. If we look at history, it was 3-day celebration there with the Indians. These people were thankful for what God had done for them. Are we thankful for what God, number one, has done for us? And then are we thankful for what the people down here have done for us. We see the compensation for the contributions here. Got to pace myself here. We're running out of time here. But the compensation for the contributions. Say that five times fast. In verse 19 it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We see first off that God, my God, shall supply. Take note of the word shall. The fulfilling of this promise is conditional on missions giving, as we talked about in verses 14 through 19. Chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are about giving. We can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. I'll just read that here. It says, "For if there be first a willing mind," so first be willing in your mind, "it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24 tells us, "Wherefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." And then it goes on down to say some other things just of the same nature in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And for time's sake, we won't go through all of that. But we should be thankful to the Lord. We look at the supply. God shall supply. God did not overlook our sacrifices or the sacrifices of the Philippians in verse 18. Done in behalf of His work, He will not be indebted to us. We see the word "your" in verse 19. God shall supply all your need. That is reference to the church at Philippi. Paul says, "I know you sacrificed to keep me in the field, but God will take care of your needs." You don't just have to worry about your needs being met. You don't have to worry about your needs being met any more than I do. Just as God meets my needs, He tells them, He's going to meet your needs also. And we see the word "need" there in Ephesians chapter 3. Just turn back a couple pages real quick, if you will. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, 3 verse 16, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Verse 20, it says, slide down to verse 20. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God is able to take care of us. Familiar verse, Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do we really believe that verse? You know, the sheep never lack for food or shelter, for their shepherd sees that they get it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." We see riches. How much riches does God have? He has it all. All the wealth of heaven is at our disposal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23 tells us, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Verse 22, "Wherefore Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours." Verse 23, "And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." The day one gets saved, God gives him a blank check signed by our Heavenly Father for the purpose of meeting every need he has through life. He can supply not only every need, but also every desire. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Of course, we need to remember Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Of course, it's understood that the fulfilling of our desires by our Heavenly Father is dependent on our walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, as it talks about in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. And if we walk in the Spirit, our desires will be right and godly. We will desire for ourselves what our Heavenly Father desires for us. We will then pray according to His will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 tells us, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Are we asking according to His will? And if we know, that He hears us, whichever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12 says this, and the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. God's going to take care of you. Psalms, Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 7 says, for the Lord hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. We will lack nothing when we are walking in the Spirit and praying according to His will. Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. We see the glory in the closing, trying to wrap it up here. In verse 20, it says in Philippians chapter 4, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. One said this is a rapturous outburst, if you will. All the glory is God's. He is the giver. God put their purposes into their hearts. We must be careful to give God the glory for everything He has done for us. In 2017 in the Super Bowl where the Eagles played the Patriots, and I'll try to make this quick, there was a trick play that the Eagles ran called the Philly Special. And what was unique about it was that the quarterback ended up catching the ball. And after the play was finished, the quarterback went over to the sidelines. Everybody was going crazy. People were high-fiving him. Nick Foles, the quarterback, he said, all glory to God. Do we give all the glory to God? We see the greetings in the closings in verse 21 where it says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. We see the word is salute. This is an admonition we should all follow. Salute, it means to greet, to hail, to address with expressions of kind wishes. Matthew chapter 5 verse 47 says, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Question mark. Do not even the publicans so. Hey, the publicans greeted people. We should be friendly to other Christians. We shouldn't just be friendly to other Christians. I think this is where this is trying to go. We should be friendly to everyone. Sometimes you get this idea, you're not allowed to say hi to the Catholics or the non-denominationals or the Presbyterians or the Lutherans or the Jehovah's Witnesses. No, you should be friendly to everyone. Philippians chapter 4 verse 22 says, all the saints salute you chiefly that are of Caesar's household. You see, Paul had stayed busy witnessing for the Lord even while in prison. Acts chapter 28 verse 30 says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul remained a witness no matter where he was, even in prison. He witnessed so much that the servants of Caesar had started getting saved. And we should take remembrance. Servants often have an easier time being a Christian. God gives grace to the humble. William Penn said, those people who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Allow yourself to be governed by God. Be humble. Be a servant. And in conclusion, we see the grace in the closing. Verse 23. We made it to the end here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. To the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. That's a little extra there. You see that in the little fine print. The final words of the letter spoke of the grace of God. One word, grace, reminded Paul that he was deserving of eternal condemnation, but God has sent His only Son to pay the penalty for his sin. Grace ought to remind all the redeemed souls that the benefit of redemption are obtained by grace. Ephesians 2:8. Philippians, what a wonderful little book. Through its pages, we have learned of the joy robbers and how to overcome them. We learned of the mind of Christ. We learned of knowing our Savior better. We learned of rejoicing in the Lord. We learned how to be truly contented. We learned that He will supply all our needs. And I will close the study with a reminder from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. While walking down a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His sweet voice was distinguishable above even the noise of traffic. When I located him, a man said, I noticed that he had no legs and was pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. Catching up with him, I said, I want you to know, friend, that to hear singing from a person in your condition gives everyone else a lift. He answered with a grateful smile when I stopped looking at what I lost and began concentrating on all that I had left. I found much for which I could rejoice and be happy. This morning, as we close our study of Philippians, can you rejoice, or has your joy been robbed? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege it was to stand and teach through Philippians. I pray that it is help and a blessing to your people. Dear Lord, please draw us closer to you through the services today. Dear Lord, please help us to be humble. Please help us to listen. Please help us to get what you have for us here in the services to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for your time and attention. I appreciate it.